Blog Talk Radio.
Everything is going to be all right. You're listening to Tippy Talk. Time now to sit back, relax, listen, and enjoy the moment. Newborn is the official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk. To hear more of the music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy the wonderful sound. And now it is time to step into the Tippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality. Side that allows you to reshape your life, step into your power, and connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk, where we go from where you are to where you want to be. I'm your host, Tippy Feldstein.
Hey everybody, we have a great show lined up for you today. It's a guest that will be joining us today. And I think you're having a problem hearing me over the music, so let me shut it off a little bit. There we go.
And that's perfect.
I am so excited today. Our guest will be joining us is Michael Edward Bradford. Thank you, Michael. This is the second half of our talk. So if you wish to listen to the first half, you can go to blogtalkradio.com, Tippy Talk, and listen to the show named Life Mission with Michael Edward Bradford. And then you can come back and listen to this so that you can learn more about what we're talking about. Michael is an international intuitive energy healer. He's a spiritual teacher, and he has lots of expertise in health, healing, and personal excellence, and spiritual growth. And to top it all off, he's also a business coach and an author of a book called Healing Energy of Your Hands, Mastering the Human Experience, second book, and Soul Empowerment, third book. That's a lot of investment in just helping you heal your life. Michael has a master's in international management, and he has advanced training in intuition, NLP, hypnosis, Reiki, energy medicine, and reading energy patterns. All of this is related to the big E word, which is energy. So today we're going to start with a premise that everyone can agree on. I really don't think there are too many things that everyone can agree on, but this I believe that we can. But if you don't agree with this, then please let me know as soon as possible by calling in at 914-338-0683. So if you're ready for the premise, there it is. Okay. The premise is that everything is made of energy. This is a huge implication if you really think about it. So in a few minutes, we will be talking about it and we will be thinking about it. Because Michael Redford uses a unique cutting-edge multidimensional approach to healing, and he has helped over 30,000 people worldwide to break free of their limitation, balance their karma, and achieve greater success. We're going to be talking also about what exactly is karma. So I'd like to welcome you, Michael. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm so grateful that you were able to be here today.
Well, I really love being on the show with you because you're so alive and vibrant, and you ask great questions, and there's great bantering going on. So I love it.
That's great. Thank you so much. I really am intrigued by this little statement today, that everything is made of energy, because I've noticed when I was looking and putting together your experience and your expertise, you have a lot of things that you do that are related to energy. You do NLP, energy, hypnosis, energy, Reiki, energy medicine, energy, the reading energy patterns, energy. So you really looks like you tap into the energy, and if everything is made of energy, which I agree, and I don't see anybody calling and disputing that, then this is so big that we don't even realize it's a revolutionary concept.
Well, if we take a look at the concept of the internet is all-encompassing. However, there's the great internet in the sky, the great internet in the universe, which is energy. And once you learn how to tap into it, to feel it, sense it, track it, all the information is available, and that's what I'll take it to the extreme. You've got electricity, you've got sound, heat, healing energy, intuition, thought, prayer, temperature. You can go all the way into quantum physics. You can go all the way into the Akashic records. Everything is information. Everything is energy, and it's all connected. The most interesting part is that for me, in my perception, and I believe this is proved out by science, is even in a black hole, there's energy.
The
space between the molecules and the electrons is energy. So if you can tap into that and receive that energy or receive the information, and again, information is energy, then you have access to everything.
Yeah, so I think when you say tap into that energy, I think it needs to be qualified a little bit, because really everybody is tapped and connected to that energy, but I think it's more like being aware that you're tapped into the energy. It's almost like you are plugged in, but you're asleep, so you don't know it. So what you're saying is that once you become aware of it, it gives you such a huge spectrum of things that it changes your life.
Well, that's true. And we sense energy through our senses. So we either see it, hear it, smell it, taste it, feel it. There's an aspect of knowing. So there's a lot of ways that we can tap into energy, intuition. However, there has to be a receptor within us, openness, a willingness in order to receive it. As we're talking, I'm getting in, my intuition is telling me to make sure that I talk about being an empath, or people that are highly sensitive people, because they're easily overloaded by energy. And here we get into another subject matter that says, if we do not learn how to deal with energy and control energy, then what happens is we can get overloaded by it, or affected by it in ways that are not that healthy to us.
Okay, but before you can talk about tapping into it or even working with it, you really have to talk about something that people don't realize that is very closely connected to the statement that everything is energy, and that is quantifying and predicting the behavior of energy, which I think for you, it makes sense. It's more understandable, kind of self-explanatory, because of your background in mathematics and physics. So when I talk about quantifying and predicting energy behavior, can you explain that in detail? Because I know what that means in my brain, but I can't put it into words.
Okay, let me see if I could explain it differently. Because I've been working with intuition and energy for 40, 45 years, I've learned more about what it is, how to use it, how to direct it, whether something is high energy or low energy. It's like when you're touching something, you can tell whether it's hot or cold. Well, you can also learn, and you do learn over time, whether something is, and I hate to use the word positive and negative energy, a higher frequency in vibration or a lower frequency in vibration, I guess is a better way of saying it. So there's times when I've walked into a building, times when I've walked on the land, and I could feel the pain. I could feel the heaviness. And there's other times when I've walked into a building or been around people, and the energy is so light, you just want to laugh and dance and celebrate. So everything has a range of consciousness and a range of frequency and vibration. And the big point that I think you're heading towards is that there's always a range. And that range is something we learn over time, what we're comfortable with, how we feel it, how we respond, how we take care of ourselves, how we take responsibility, how we interpret it. So this is all part of learning to work with intuition, learning how to set boundaries with people, learning how to handle our own energy. I know there is times when I'm not feeling well and I'm saying, what's going on? And then I check my energy and I picked up some negative energy where I've been around negative people, and then I just shake it off and I'm clear again. Also working with clients that have health issues or are dealing with depression or some other challenges, a lot of times I'll notice that they have dark energy around them or heavy energy, and I'll help them to clear that, and then their energy increases and they're able to heal themselves. Anytime someone is dealing with challenges, negativity, health issues, financial issues, a lot of times they're carrying heavy negative energy with them. And clearing that allows them to come out and to break free into a more positive energy and more positive mindset.
Yeah, it's exactly what I was talking about. But even more than that, you understand, and when you say energy to someone, it's a very abstract thing until they get to a point where they can either sense it, feel it, touch it, or in some way know that it exists. So when it's an abstract thing, it really doesn't exist in your reality. So in order to bring it into your reality, and in order to see the existence of that, of any energy, and another thing is about the negative and positive and good and bad, and I'm going to talk about that. But first of all, if you don't sense it, feel it, touch it, or see it, or know that it exists in some way, and then it doesn't exist, then how do you do that? How do you go from not feeling it and seeing it to seeing it and figuring it out how to measure it? Or do you have to create some kind of device to measure it? So what's that little flick that you have to switch on to go from I don't see it, I don't hear it? That's
okay.
What I mean.
Let me say it a different way. I'm going to answer this in a very concrete way, but very different. When I do a two-day workshop, and I love to do two-day workshops and work with people, the first hour people keep talking to me, and if they're using negative languaging, I'll keep saying, I can't hear you. What'd you say? I can't hear you. What are you saying? Until they start saying things in the positive. So in other words, they'll say, I can't do this, or this isn't going to work, or whatever it is. And I will literally not hear them until they speak to me in a positive languaging. And in the first hour of the workshop, people get very frustrated with me sometimes. However, I stick with it. But when they get it, when they start talking in a positive way, the whole energy in the room shifts. And that's one of the major breakthroughs in the workshop. There's other times, like on the second day of the workshop, I do a fire walk. But when I do the fire walk, it's not with hot coals. It's with two pieces of tape on the ground. And again, in the beginning of that process, because I can see whether the person who's walking the fire, whether their energy crashes as they're before the fire, as they're stepping onto the fire, when they're in the middle, or when they're crossing the finish line. Now, again, in the beginning, people look at me in the workshop and say, Michael, you're crazy. And I go, yeah, I know, just wait a while. But then after about the third or fourth person walks the fire, and there's about 20 people in those workshops, then what happens is everyone starts picking it up. Everyone starts feeling it and sensing it. There's something called entrainment. And entrainment says that if there's three grandfather clocks in a room, that eventually all three will start moving in the same direction at the same time. If you've got four women on their menstrual cycle living in the house at the same time, those will align also. So entrainment is a way, again, for the energy to align to the strongest energy in the room or the most prominent energy in the room. And again, this is a way that a person opens up. The other way to really sense energy is to be with someone that assists you to do that. Someone like a guide, teacher, coach, mentor. I do that with people. Another way of doing it is when I was with the Native Americans and vision questing, I went out on the land. We did a ceremony first, a sweat lodge ceremony. Then they put me on the land where I stayed for 4 days and four nights with no food or water. And as you're quiet, as you know, you don't have any distractions, you have no one to talk to, you have no food, no water. And what happens is your senses open up. One of the things I'm writing about now with my book on intuition is how if you're in a city, you have a lot of what I call light contamination. So if you look up at the sky, you don't normally see that many stars. But if you're, when I was in Jackson Hole, Wyoming many years ago, there were no lights around for hundreds of miles or lots of miles. And it looked like I could reach out and touch the stars. So the less pollution we have, the less distractions we have, the easier it is for us to sense, to feel, and to get in touch with it. Back in the olden days, when people were shepherds and people were on the land, they had a lot of time on their hands. They didn't have phones. They didn't have TV. They didn't have a lot of distractions. So they listened. They felt. They sensed things a lot more. There wasn't a contamination of the senses. And back then, people were very, very attuned to a change in temperature, different smells, and different shifts of energy. They could actually feel. I actually talked to I guess he was a Navy SEAL or military man, and I was talking to him, and he said, yeah, Michael, everything you're talking about is true. And when we're in the field, we don't look at an enemy. If we're a sharpshooter or a sniper, we don't look at the enemy directly because the enemy can feel us looking at him. He said, we actually look to the side until we're ready to take the shot. And I was very surprised. So I hope I'm not going way off base, but I'm covering a lot of things that I feel are tied into what you're asking. Back to you.
Well, let me make it a little bit idiot-proof so my brain can get it. So what you're saying is that in order to open the receptacles to tap into the energy, you would have to do things like stay in a positive mode of energy for a while, and that can help you tap into it, or that's one way, or stay in silence, or do this ritual that you call firework, which I don't really understand, I wouldn't need to explain, or like stay away from things that contaminate the energy, like you said, the light contamination, which happens in the city, so go out into a place where you don't have that kind of, all those things, basically, to bring it down to basics, is what helps you feel, sense, and touch that energy. Because, anybody that's been around people will understand that when someone is looking at you, as they call staring at you, even if you don't even know they exist, you're going to turn and look at them. And as I've had so many people that I used to stare at when I was a kid would turn around and say, hey, you got a problem? What you looking at? Because they know I'm looking at them. I didn't even know they knew I existed. And all of a sudden they turn around and say, hey, what you looking at? You know? So that's obvious. Is that really basically the bottom line?
That's part of the bottom line. Let me say, add a couple of things in here just to add a little spice to this conversation. A lot of people, or should I say a number of people today, they do not want to get hurt anymore. They've been hurt. They shut down their feelings or emotions or their addiction, whatever kind of addiction they have. They're protecting themselves from feeling and sensing. And I can understand some people are on overload or they're just, they're hurt. They don't want to be hurt anymore. So if we're shutting down our feelings and emotions, if we're armoring ourselves, then of course it's more challenging to feel and sense what's going on. As we open up, we become more sensitive. And we, by paying attention and just noticing, we can pick up and learn a lot of this information. So in other words, if I was in a workshop situation or in a group situation, I would say, without saying any words, walk around the room and sense and feel, not by looks, but by feelings, which person you're the most comfortable with, without talking. And then do another exercise and say, okay, which person are you the least comfortable with? And as I'm working with the person or as the person is doing this, there's a good chance that they'll become more sensitive towards the feelings, towards their feelings, their emotions, and then, of course, it's about learning to interpret it. So this is all a learning process. It's just like riding a bicycle. It's just like learning music. It's just like anything else in life. If we focus on it, we invest the time, we invest the energy, we'll learn. In the beginning, when I was doing hands-on healing, and I don't need to use my hands for healing anymore, but in the beginning, you learn to use your hand to sense hot and cold, rough and smooth energy. You learn this by just taking a while and practicing. Back to you.
Well, thank you. So you said something before that I thought was really important, so I'm going to go back a little bit. And you started talking about when you walk into a place, you feel positive and negative vibration, and then you said, I don't want to use the word negative. I'm going to use higher or lower vibration. So for me, positive and negative vibration is nature. Every positive side has a negative side. I think it's putting a judgment on it and saying that negative is bad or positive is good that makes it uncomfortable to use it. But you're saying that positive energy is higher energy and negative energy may be lower energy, but a particle cannot exist, an atom cannot exist without the positive and negative charge. So why do we have to quantify negative as being bad and the positive as being good?
Okay, very, very good point. I give you this one. I guess the way I'm looking at it is not wanting to judge it. So in other words, if I see trees, I see different kinds of trees. I see different kinds of people. There are some people I'd like to spend more time with, and there's other people I would like to spend less time with. But everyone's on the path, and I would rather talk about frequency and vibration, a higher frequency or a lower frequency, as opposed to positive or negative. And everything does have an atom does have a positive and negative charge. You're absolutely correct.
And everything is made out of atoms, so everything has a positive and negative charge.
Okay, we can use that term. I want to just share a couple of things. There's places, buildings. I know I went to visit someone. I don't want to give any details, but I went to visit someone I know. And as I walked up to their porch, there was this wall of energy that was so heavy and thick that I actually got a headache walking up to the porch. And going into the house is even worse. And then there's other places. Well, I'll give you some example. Notre Dame Cathedral, Lourdes in France, and Stenhouser concentration camp. Those were three of the worst energy, heavy energies I've ever been in. And then some of the best energies I've ever been in is the little personal churches out on the land in Greece. So it was a family church. It wasn't a big church. It wasn't a commercial church. And it was a little family church where people had a candle burning 24 hours a day. Being out in nature, I love nature because nature has a way with the wind, the rain, of clearing the energy, unless, of course, it was a battlefield or an old burial site. So there's times when I'm walking along and all of a sudden I can feel a heaviness or I feel a pain in my heart. And then I stop and I ask, is this a burial ground? Was there a war here? What went on? Where would you like to go now, Tippi?
So what you're saying is really that – okay, first of all, if I got a headache, I wouldn't be able to identify and say that I got a headache because the energy was massively thick and lower energy. I would not know why it was. Like, for example, yesterday, all of a sudden, I got a horrible headache, and then it went away. But I couldn't identify that it was because some energy was whatever hit me. So that, I think, being really in tune with the energy, so you're able to do that. But what you're also saying is if you go to a concentration camp, for example, and you feel negative energy, then there is a lingering energy that has been there for a while. Is there a way
Absolutely.
To clear that out? Yeah, is there a way to clear it out and maybe for lack of a better word, like kind of cushion the place with holy water or something like that, so that you can clear that energy?
Well, there's a lot of places on the earth that have had negative, here I'm using the word negative again, have had things happen where a lot of people died or there was a catastrophe or something. Places like the concentration camps and that, a lot of people have prayed there and they've been clearing energy.
And a lot of pain, a lot of suffering.
Yeah, and that actually gets into the land. So it does come out. However, I haven't met people who can clear all of it out in a situation like that in one go. So it seems to come out because it's a lot of it and very heavy and dense.
Mm-hmm. So it's in the land, you said. Could it also be lingering in the air, or does air flow not allow it to stay in one place?
The airflow, I would say, was more residual. However, I can open up a can of worms here. I will say it can be in the air. However, I'm going to preface this with something where I'm going to let you decide if we go there or not. Okay. When people have been killed, murdered, burial sites, sometimes the spirits of the people hang around.
Oh, I see.
So that's a whole different level of negativity because, yes, it's in the air, but the reason it's in the air is because. Now, I'm going to give you an example. My understanding, and I don't have the hard proof of this, is in places like Gettysburg, where a lot of people were killed, and a lot of dying, killing, mutilation, and everything else. My understanding is places like Gettysburg has the highest level of children that are born disabled than any other place. And these are the people reincarnating that were on the battlefield, died in the battlefield, were wounded, etc., lost limbs, whatever it may be. So
and then they decided to come back.
Yeah. So part of it is, yes, the land holds it. Yes, there can be spirits that didn't even know they were died, and they still hang around, etc. Especially if people were really angry and they want to get even, people like that tend not to go into spirit as easily. They're attached to the earth plane. They're attached to getting even. So again, I'm opening up a whole nother level of energy some people can see them. When I was in England, there were cities where people would see the Roman soldiers from time to time. They'd see a column of Roman soldiers marching by. And, you know, this is a long time ago that they did that. So, again, the time factor is fluid. Energy is fluid. Energy can go forward or backwards in time. Intuition can go forward and backward in time. So we've got another interesting topic that we're talking about. But I'll let you, where would you like to go with the conversation now?
Well, we're definitely not going to go into reincarnation and soul cycles because it will be here till midnight tomorrow night if we open that hole. But there is something that I want to go back to, something that you said that is kind of curious because I kind of have a little bit of experience with it. You said you do a firework without fire. You're doing, when you do a two-day seminar, two-day workshop or whatever, it's called a firework without fire, which I'm not really sure what that means because when I went to a workshop with Anthony Robbins, or Tony Robbins as he calls himself, we did actual walking on fire on coals, and it was fine because I didn't get burned. But I don't think that that's what you're talking about. I think you're talking about an energetic walk in fire. Is that what you mean?
Okay. Yeah, I actually had at one of my workshops, the regional coordinator for Tony Robbins at my workshop. And he watched what I was doing. He said, Michael, it's harder to walk the fire with you than to walk an actual fire. So what I'm doing is just putting a piece of tape down on the ground saying, okay, this is the starting point. Over here is the fire, imaginary. And then here, I would say about 15 feet beyond that, I'm putting another piece of tape. But what happens is I'm asking the person to come in front of the fire, just like you would a regular fire walk, and to clear your mind, set your intention. I teach people how to manifest. And I watch from the completion side of I'm watching the person. I can actually hear their thoughts, and I can tell whether they're hearing their mother's voice, their father's voice, their own voice, or what's going on. I can see that, hear that, and I can also measure their energy to see if they're present in their physical bodies or not. Now, then I watch when they step out into the fire or, you know, beyond the piece of tape, I'm able to calibrate, measure whether or not they hold their energy strong or not as they're walking the fire. And I notice when their energy crashes, if it does crash. Now, what that tells me is it shows me, okay, they're a great starter, or they have trouble starting things. They have trouble completing, or they can, work hard and complete things. And then I watch as they're walking towards the edge of the fire and they're just about ready to step over and get the goodies, whether or not they crash there. That means to me some people have the mindset that they can work their buns off. However, they can never allow themselves to really receive the accolades, the rewards of success. So for me, I'm looking at it very, very differently. And I can tell when their energy crashed. When their energy crashes, it means that they lose focus. They lose direction. They're not able to maintain a positive energy. And in doing that, normally I'll say, you just crashed. And they'll go, I got it. They'll actually start feeling it. Again, you're talking about how do you feel energy? How do you get in touch with energy? This is a way of doing it as I'm giving a person feedback. Because they start realizing it for themselves, they start being able to monitor and control and direct their energy. Now, this is going to sound really wild, and it's okay. I've worked with well over 20,000 people in my life. I've only met 5 people in my life that were more than 30% energetically present the way I measure energy. So if a person is not present in their physical bodies, what is present there? It's mother's energy, it's father's energy. Whose energy is there? Where is the person? There's a lot of people I look at, and they're what I call OTL, out to lunch. The people are space cadets.
I love that, OTL. I'm going to write that down. I've never heard that one before.
Lunch. Okay. Yeah, and I don't mean this judgmentally or negatively. Some people have been traumatized so much that they don't want to feel the pain anymore. So, and they don't want to be hurt anymore. So they either shut down or leave their body. And, you know, if you leave your body, something's going to come in it. So that's one of the things that I look at and I help people to do is to clear their energy field. I mean, this may all sound pretty complicated, but after working with so many people and doing the work for 40 years, for me, it's pretty easy and pretty quick. It's not something that takes years. It can be done in a weekend workshop. It can be done in some private sessions, and I can also work on Skype or even on the telephone if I need to help people. Go ahead. I'll let you ask the question.
So that's why I'm really excited that you agreed to come to New York for a two-hour workshop, a two-hour meeting, hopefully soon within the next few months, and maybe kind of summarize what you do on the two-day workshop. I think within 2 hours you can do a lot of work, and it's just the beginning of coming to New York. So in the 2 hours that we will get together, how much time does it take to prepare to do something like that? Does it take a lot of hours? Like, how much can you do really in 2 hours?
Well, this may sound weird, but normally when I'm working with someone in front of the room, let me say it this way. I prefer, before I let anyone take any workshop with me, or I do sessions with people, I prefer to meet them in person so they know who I am and they're comfortable. Because I work so deep with people, it's important to have trust. Normally, I give a 2 to 3 hour talk, and I talk a little bit, about the basics, but until you watch me work, it's hard to imagine. Cancel. Let me rephrase that. I don't like the way I said that. There's no model
okay,
for what I'm. There's no model for what I'm doing. So, if I'm telling you that I've discovered a way to heal a lot of health challenges in less than an hour, and sometimes my record in working with someone that had a lifelong life-threatening allergy in 34 seconds after I started working with the person, it was gone forever. I mean, there's no model for things like that in this world.
I love the idea of working for 2 hours together before we invite anybody to come for a 2-day workshop with you. That makes a lot of sense because then you know exactly what kind of energy you're going to expect. Is that what it's about? Or what they're going to expect?
Number one, it works both ways. I want to feel comfortable with the people because we're going to be in a sacred space. We're going to be working together. We're going to be in close proximity. We're going to be sharing, and we're going to be learning from each other. In other words, when I do a 2-day workshop, all I do is I come in and I said, here are the rules, and there's only basic rules like confidentiality, and you don't touch anyone, and you don't do any healing on anyone, and there's some other basic rules. But all I'm doing is from the beginning is I say, who wants to work? Who wants to clear? Who wants help? And I keep working with people for 2 solid days, and I'll only take 18 people in a workshop. I'm not going to – the talk, I've done talks in excess of 1,000 people. That's easy. But when you're moving the energy at the level that I know how to move it, I want to make sure that everyone in the workshop gets the full benefit. I want to make sure that everyone I can work with at least 6 times. And I want to make sure that people get very, very good value for their time and their energy. And, you know, I love it when people have miracles and when people have tremendous breakthroughs. I love to help people to transform their lives. And I've seen so many things happen. So go ahead.
Before you come to New York, we're going to let everybody know that you're coming. And if anybody is interested right now in registering to be there, then you can contact me at thetippytalkshow@gmail.com, and we'll be able to start putting together because we can't take that many people, can we, for the introduction?
You can do 100 people for the talk or more. The talk is going to be fairly open. The workshop, though, will only be, like I said, around 18 people.
Got it.
The talk. I will be working with some people. I'll be pulling people out of the audience. You have to watch me work with people in order to really get how simple it is. And by the way, simple doesn't mean easy, and easy doesn't mean simple. I'll say it another way. When you reach a certain level of expertise, it all looks simple. You're not seeing the 40 years of working with thousands and thousands and thousands of clients, and you're not seeing me working and studying with hundreds and hundreds of shamans, medicine people, psychic surgeons from the Philippines to get all this knowledge. So the good news is I've been all around the world studying. The good news is you don't have to go chasing around the world to get the benefits of what I've learned. I know I will make it look, I'd hope I'll make it look easy, but there's a lot that goes on beyond it. And the other thing is, I don't work through the layers of the onion. whatever the gift is that Spirit has given me, I'm able to look at a person and see the core issue, whether it's this lifetime, a past lifetime, whether it's not even your issue, it's someone else's issue. I can see that. I can measure it and I can demonstrate it to you. And the person, a lot of people will clear very, very quickly. I did a major presentation last October, November. I don't know, for the people that understand family constellations, I was a guest speaker at the North American Constellation Conference in Virginia Beach. And I worked with a number of people from the audience. By the way, I'm getting that video edited this week or next week. And the average time I worked with someone in front of the room was like 5-10 minutes just to do demonstrations. It's not about time. It's about precision. Back to you.
So you make it sound like we're on a walkie-talkie. Okay, over and out.
Well, it's...
So, yeah, that's it's cute. I like it. So
okay,
when you say...
I want to honor you.
Yes,
pardon?
I appreciate that. So when you say it's easy, the way I visualize it is when you see a gymnast bending the body upside down and inside out, they make it seem easy. They don't make it seem like it's a difficult, or a ballerina even. But the hours and hours and hours that they spend practicing and training the body is really the result of things that look simple. So it's the same thing with you. You may have spent
Correct.
Years and years and hours and days and weeks and months, but at the end of the day, now it seems like it's simple, but without all those hours, it couldn't even be done.
That's absolutely correct. And I'm going to add another thing to it that's coming through for me to say. This is not my first lifetime as a healer. I've been doing healing work for eons of time around the universe. And Spirit has, I was ready to leave the planet about 8-9 years ago, and Spirit actually came through. I got tears in my eyes and actually asked me to stay and help the people of planet Earth. So.
And you agreed?
To be honest. Yeah, I agree. They asked me to stay another 30 years. I went, what? So I signed up until I'm 95, so I've got quite a few years to go. But, yeah.
I was ready to leave the planet, too.
Huh?
I was ready to leave the planet, too. I'm still ready a little bit.
I know there's a lot of people. It takes a lot of courage, and I want to reach out especially to the people who have not felt like Earth is their home. I've just finished a book called Mastering the Human Experience, Your Soul's Journey on Earth. It's on Amazon to help people to understand more about coming to Earth, why you're here, what's involved, what your choices are, how the energy gets scrambled, how to get out of it. And now I'm working on a book on intuition. But yeah, I love to help people, do a lot of work with children and families and businesses. I love entrepreneurship. And for me, this is something that some people have a challenge with. Being spiritual and being an entrepreneur, there's nothing wrong with that. It's actually a very natural combination. Poverty and spirituality, unfortunately, somehow got lobbed in together. It shouldn't be. Spirituality and abundance and freedom and joy and happiness and ease and grace, that is true spirituality.
Wow. So, yeah, that's one of the things that somehow a lot of religion and a lot of communities embrace, that spirituality and poverty, that poverty is somehow a virtue and a spiritual journey. So that's like huge thing.
I'm not sure where it came in, but one of the things I'll do in the workshop is break the religious vows, because the religious vows are poverty, celibacy, pain, suffering, giving away your power, being silent, being obedient, being invisible, chastity of the eyes, you don't even look people in the eyes, vows of self-sacrifice, being a victim, being a martyr, and vows of stability. Once you make your mark on the paper, it is for eternity. So one of the things I've learned how to do is to break those vows so people can be present in this lifetime. I've also learned how to help clear and update people's guides and teachers, all the stuff I'll be doing in the workshop. So I'm pretty excited, and I just love the way we interact, and I feel like it's going to be a really success and help a lot of people.
Yeah, and you're saying that basically your talk, when you're going to come, it can include the entire city of New York. We can invite everybody down. It won't matter how many people, and out of all those people, only 18 of them are going to be invited to, or are going to be able to come to a two-day workshop.
Well, the one thing I will say is when there is a calling, I will come. So in other words, if we get a good response and people want me to come back, I'm open to that. So this first group is going to be really special. By the way, I'm going to make an offer. I hope you don't mind this. For those people that come to the first workshop and they graduate that workshop, I will give them an opportunity, providing that they've cleared, to come back and assist on other workshops. I'm also willing to train people to do what I do. How
wow.
is that for an offer?
That's very, very generous. Very, very, very generous. And so, yeah, all you have to do is contact us. You can also contact Michael. What's your email address where they can contact you?
Michael@michaelbradford.com.
Easy. Michael@michaelbradford.com. Very easy email if you want to contact Michael directly. You can contact me directly at tippytalkshow@gmail.com. And so before we run out of time and before we have to go, there is one more thing that I would love if you could explain, if you don't mind. You mentioned the word karma, and you mentioned people coming back with disabilities and handicaps. Can you explain karma? Because I think there's a lot of misconceptions about what that means.
Okay, karma is a balancing and a learning. So in other words, and by the way, I believe that we create the karma. There's no one up there that says you're going to get punished. But our soul, in my opinion, and again, this is in the book Mastering the Human Experience, I believe that we say, oh my God, I made a mistake. Let me come back and learn what it's like to be on the other side, on the receiving side of what I've done. So in other words, if we've been greedy in one lifetime, we may choose to come back and be generous in the next. I'll give you an example. This is an extreme example. I was given a talk one time, and this woman kept crying and screaming about, oh, my poor grandson, he was sexually abused, and blah, blah, blah. And she just wouldn't let up. And out of my mouth, without even stopping and thinking, out of my mouth came, yeah, you should have seen him in the last lifetime or the other lifetime when he was a priest abusing children.
Wow.
So we come back to learn. Now, here's the most important thing of your question. And here's the most important thing of my answer. I've developed a way to clear karma in a very short period of time, almost instantly, because karma to me is learning our lessons. And if we have an aha moment, which I help people to achieve, that karma can all melt away almost instantaneously. I don't believe that it takes a long time to clear karma. That's not my experience. So again, by the way, I'll make another confession here. Boy, I'm really confessing. A lot of the work I do is not on the third dimension, third dimensional reality. So in other words, when I was down in New Zealand giving a workshop, I stopped and I said, okay, what dimension are we on? And what I heard was 22nd dimension. So people talk about third dimension, fourth dimension, fifth dimension. I go, okay. I don't know where I'm playing and where my guides and teachers and helpers are playing, but it's way beyond the third, fourth, and fifth dimension. So what happens is as I'm sitting, working with people, like in the workshop, what I'll be doing is we'll be going to a much higher frequency and vibration. When you raise the frequency and vibration that high, the drop, the negativity, the blockages melt away. If you're, one of the ways I describe the workshop is if you're sitting in a washing machine for 2 days, you're going to get cleaned. So
right.
Just the high energy, the high frequency energy field is going to help to move you and shift you to a much higher frequency and vibration and elevate your soul frequency and vibration. I'm just amazed at the things that I've seen over the years.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And it's also amazing how you're connecting to things that you don't even know it exists, and you kind of just think about it, and then it pops into your life out of nowhere, seemingly. And it's just really, really wonderful. Just like with you, some people that you talk to, flows, the energy flows, and there's no blockages, there's no standing in between, like we can talk for a really long time. And I just, every time it happens, it's so, such a miracle. It's so exciting. Even though you know it's going to happen, you know the energy is there, it's still like, wow, I can't believe that happened over and over again.
Tippi, there's a soul resonance. There's a soul familiarity with certain people. I've related a lot to, I don't want to say street people, but people that have been through really rough times, warriors. What's really interesting is a lot of my workshops, or most of my workshops, I have more men than women. That's very, very unusual in the spiritual field.
Very unusual.
Usually there's more. However, men feel safe with me, and especially the warriors, the people coming back, people in warriors in other lifetimes, people that have been in the military this lifetime, for whatever reason, thank God, they feel safe with me. And I've actually lived and worked with the Vietnam vets on the Olympic Peninsula. So, again, I reach out, and to the talk, I encourage people to bring their teenage children or even younger children, and there's times when I'm guided to work with the children and to help them. And I've got plenty of stories. I've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of stories, which I want to put in a book one day. I'm working my way through the books because everyone, whether it's women or men or children, older people, I've worked with some people in their 70s, 80s, 90s. I've worked with people that are having challenges getting pregnant, people that are having challenges holding the pregnancy. Again, this is a lot of this is covered in my book. And everyone deserves to be happy. Everyone deserves to be free. Everyone deserves to have a good life. And one of the things that I'll say is that the harder someone's life has been, normally the more advanced their soul is. Only an advanced soul would pick a very, very challenging lifetime because they're the only ones that could handle it. So a lot of the people dealing with life-threatening illnesses, dealing with drug addictions or any addiction, or people that have been through war zones or have had tremendous family challenges, they're advanced souls. And I want to honor each of these people. And again, I would love to invite them to the talk. And you and I need to talk about that more, but I want to make it affordable. And I really would love to get the word out. And should cancel, I shouldn't use the word should, depending upon the reception, if you want me there, if New York wants me there, I'll start coming there on every couple of months, whatever it may be. We need more light. We need healing. We need support. We need love. We need light. And
that's a great. That's a great way to end this because we're running out of time. So yes, we need light. We need people that want the light, that are looking for the light.
I want to say one more thing really quick. One of the things that a lot of us were told is we're not allowed to ask for help or support. And I'll tell you, I learned that one, to ask for help, ask for support, and allow myself to be loved, appreciated, accepted, supported. And this is what the talk is going to be about and the workshop is going to be about, is it's about establishing our internal community with ourselves, making peace with ourselves, clearing our energies, and hopefully also creating a community, people that will continue to work together.
Yeah, exactly. Creating a community of people that will continue to be working together. That's really, really powerful. Thank you so much. And we are running out of time. We have come to the end of our time together here on Tippy Talk. Michael, we're really looking forward to seeing you again soon. It has been a great pleasure speaking with you. And thank you so much for joining us. And
thank
don't
you.
Forget, everybody, we want you. Thank you so much. And don't forget, everybody, we want your story. We're here to listen to your story and share your gift. It can be any story. It does not have to be an inspirational or special, because we here at Tippy Talk, we want to hear your story, and we know that it's special, and we are all about that. You've been listening to Tippy Talk. My name is Tippy Felsenstein. We bid you a magical journey, and let your talent be your potion.